This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. So I'm about to do something that I don't ever do. And I'll explain why in just a moment. But I have this rule, and it's a rule for me. I would recommend it for you, but obviously you live your life however you wish. And this rule is, I don't get involved in other people's fights. Most definitely, if my friends are fighting with each other, I don't stick my nose in it. If I have a couple I know and they're having all kinds of problems and maybe even talking about divorce, that's your problem. I'm not sticking my nose in it. Now, somebody comes asking me for help or to mediate the situation, I'm always there to help. But I don't take these arguments people have and jump in, taking a side, throwing poop back and forth. And one thing that's very, very fascinating about this job, doing radio for a living, which is still so weird to me, one thing that's fascinating about that is people want me to get involved in all kinds of spats. Whatever spat they are interested in, whatever particular cause is their interest, they understandably want me to get involved. They think it will help their cause. They want to hear from me on it. So I get it, but it's just because of how I am, and I was this way a long time before I got into media, I just don't do that. Now, I am sure you've probably heard, or at least you've heard of it, that United States Senator from Texas, Ted Cruz, went and sat down with Tucker Carlson. And they did a long, very contentious interview. And the real central theme of it was Tucker does not want to get involved in all this Iranian stuff. Ted Cruz does want to get involved in all this Iranian stuff. And that is the ultimate in paraphrasing, but they are very opposite on this thing. And they went at each other, and then it's been even worse ever since. They've been going at each other publicly on social media, and then they're different surrogates of different camps. You know, Tucker's people are Ted's a worthless piece of crap, and Ted's people are Tucker's a liar, and blah, blah, blah. So let me, before I read the email, let me go ahead and get this out of the way first. I know Ted Cruz, and I know Tucker Carlson, as in multiple times. I have hung out with these people. I know them, okay? So I wouldn't have gotten involved anyway. I'm really not tempted to get involved in all this, but I'll explain why I am in a moment because I got this one. Hey, great leader of the masses, is it asking too much for your take on your friend Tucker Carlson's slugfest with your man Ted Cruz? It was like watching a divorced couple argue over who gets the house with Tucker starring as the bitter ex and so on and so forth. I know the U.S. government gets the all right, so on and so forth. This guy is obviously very upset with Tucker. He was taking Cruz's side, but that doesn't matter. Is it too much to ask for my opinion? Well, here's my opinion, and everyone's going to hate it. Here's my opinion. I think what they did was awesome. Both of them. I do not think arguments are bad all the time. You know what I like? I like that Tucker Carlson has an opinion. He has strong opinions. He has strong opinions about American policy, foreign and domestic. He has a strong disagreement with Ted Cruz when it comes to Iran and Israel. Tucker Carlson invited him, United States Senator, to come sit down, and he didn't shy away from his opinions. He sat and he asked hard questions of the United States Senator. On the flip side, for Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz was well aware before this that Tucker Carlson was, well, he doesn't have a Ted Cruz bumper sticker. We'll put it to you that way. Those two have gone at each other before when Tucker had his big show on Fox News. They've gone at each other. It's not like Ted Cruz got ambushed. Ted Cruz walked into a long form, not some 5-minute snippet, a long form 2-hour interview, and he knew it was going to be hostile. He knew that the person interviewing him disagreed with him on what would be the main subject of the interview. And yet, he showed up anyway. And they argued for 2 hours. And both of them made a bunch of really solid points. And I think that's good. Am I crazy? I saw it. I saw all the snippets. I haven't watched 2 hours of it. I'm not doing that. But I thought it was awesome. I think this. No, I think that. You're wrong about this. You're wrong about that. What's wrong with having an argument? And when we're discussing something as big as foreign policy, regime change, nuclear weapons, America's military, shouldn't we have debates? Even on our side? I want debates. I want people on our side saying, no, go in, take out the nuclear sites, hit them hard, let God sort them out. I want that. And I want other people on our side saying, hold on, pause. What are we changing the regime to? Who's facilitating that? Is America paying for all this? Are we going to get involved in another Afghanistan? That's healthy. It's healthy to sit down and have arguments with people. As I've said, your friendships have arguments. It's fine. Don't do it in front of other people. Don't embarrass people publicly. Have arguments with your spouse, your husband, your wife. And I know, and I'm not trying to be Grandpa Jesse. Trust me, I'm really not. But I remember what it was like when I was younger. When you are young, if you're a young couple listening to this, just hear me out here. When you have a big blowout fight with your spouse, it feels like the end of the world. When you are young, that's what it feels like. It feels like it's over. I've screwed everything up. My life is over. He's going to leave me. She's going to leave me. The older you get, you realize it's not. It's going to be fine. You're going to cool off tonight. And you're going to go dancing in the moonlight together, or you'll work it out tomorrow or something. It's healthy. I like that Tucker Carlson invites a U.S. senator he disagrees with and sits him down and interrogates him for 2 hours. And I like that Ted Cruz had the guts to go do it, because Ted Cruz knew he was going to get at both barrels from somebody who's really, really good at that thing. And he did. And Tucker gave it to him both barrels. I realize they may hate each other, and that's fine. I don't care. I'm not their mommy. I'm not involved in any of that at all. I liked it. I consume as much information when it comes, especially when it comes to foreign affairs. I consume as much information from every source as possible, because there's so much information out there, but there are so many lies out there, and there are so many people avoiding the truth out there. I like hearing from every side and figuring out where I fall down on it. The reason I brought up the regime change things earlier, in case you missed it, I have asked these two very important questions. If the goal is regime change, and publicly people are calling for that, Netanyahu called for that, American politicians have called for that.
Time for regime change. And I believe that this president should be given a fair amount of leeway to affect that.
Okay. Change it to who? Change it to what? And who is facilitating that? Vague answers, by the way, do not work, because then you end up with a warlord. If your answer to who's facilitating that is the Iranian people, I know that sounds really great in social studies class, but in the real world, that means it'll be the guy who gathers the most guns and will do the most violence. He ends up winning. That's what it means. Well, it's up to them. If you're going to topple a government, even an evil one like the Iranian government, there has to be a solid plan to replace it with something the people of Iran will accept. That is my question. Nobody has given me that answer yet. I get a bunch of vagaries, or I get told to shut up, or I get told... Nobody has answered these questions yet. The only solid answer to one of those two questions is, hey, the Shah's son, the royal family, essentially. We're going to reinstall the Shah's son. Okay, if that's the plan, fine. I'm just asking, what is the plan? And what kind of a government is that going to be? A monarchy? Some kind of a constitutional monarchy? Are the people going to be okay with it? These are valid questions to ask. Just observe. Taking as much information as you can. All right. Let's talk about Disney and Harvard and Godzilla next.
Truth. Attitude. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Thursday, reminding you that tomorrow is an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Ask me anything. Email your questions in right now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. We'll get back to a bunch of emails in a moment, but I wanted to point out that there are some companies in America, a lot of companies, that are pulling back on all the sick cultural Marxist filth. They're not doing this because they've had a change of heart and now they love family and America and God. They're doing this because you and me, we started putting our money where our morals are, and they started getting afraid of us. But there are other companies. There are some that are not changing, and we can't get lulled to sleep by the fact that we've had some wins. America's university system is as committed to destroying this country as they have ever been before. Yes, I realize that all the DEI guidance, you're not allowed to have DEI anymore. How many examples have we pointed out of these people doing the exact same thing, just changing the name? They haven't changed their cultural Marxist ways. And the right here, Harvard Law Review axes 85% of submissions using race-conscious rubric. You think all the communists who've been blocking the Asians and white people from getting into Harvard, do you think Donald Trump won the election and they've changed their ways? Totally changed that way of thinking. No, I'm done with all that now. You think that? And then there's Disney. This is from Breitbart. Disney's Ironheart features a drag queen Robin Hood character who steals from the privileged. Disney has not changed at all. And I only brought this up to cost them money. It's my only purpose. You don't have to take your kids to Disneyland or Disney World. There are incredible theme parks all over the United States of America that don't have dudes dressed up like chicks in the Queen store. Disney does. With a beard, Disney does. You don't need Disney Plus. Most of the new stuff they put out is garbage anyway. Garbage. Stop supporting this putrid company. They still put this stuff out there because I understand why. Let me explain. I understand why Disney's still putting it out there. They're putting it out there because they haven't felt enough financial pain. And they haven't felt enough financial pain because Americans don't want to let go of certain traditional things that have been wonderful. And Disney, even though it's this entertainment company, this child entertainment company, has been really part of America's fabric for my entire life. And before then, but for my entire life. When we were kids, we didn't go to the movies very often, but man, you always wanted to see the newest Disney movie when you were a kid. What are they putting out now? The Lion King or the whatever. Disney became part of our life. And it became this accomplishment for young parents, a destination accomplishment. I'm talking about Disneyland in California or Disney World in Orlando, Florida. It became one of those things. If you're a young couple and you start having kids, when they're old enough, if you can cobble together enough money, it was always expensive. It's brutal now. If you can cobble together enough money, it almost seemed like a rite of passage to where, well, we're okay. We've We've saved up enough. The kids are old enough now. They can ride the My Little Teacup stuff. Let's go to Disney World. And you know what? Pointing fingers right here, because I did it. Now, this is before Disney went complete insane. But we did exactly that. We saved up. We road tripped it. We couldn't even afford to fly there. We road tripped it, saved up, loaded the two kiddos in the SUV, and we drove down to Orlando, Florida, and we did Disney World. And the reason I know what the feeling is because that was our feeling. We thought, well, it almost, I don't want to say an obligation, but it almost felt like, I mean, we got to take the kids to Disney World. It's just kind of one of those things you've got to do. Every kid needs to go to Disney World. This way of thinking. We had it. We did it. We've got to stop. We've got to stop because these corporations that won't bend the knee, these corporations that have decided to press the gas pedal on all the evil filth, all the LGBT stuff for the kids,
why are you gay?
All that stuff, we have to make it harder for them. And we have not made it hard enough on Disney yet. Because as many people have let go of, you know, Bud Light, or they don't shop at Target anymore, or they won't go see the newest gay movie or whatever it is. As many gains as we've made there, we still can't quite shake this Disney thing. Disney is still, it's tradition, isn't it? It's tradition. And I get that. I get the why. It's very, very understandable. But something we got to let go. All right. I want to talk to you about something. Hoplites. We did the Alexander the Great history stuff. I think that was last week, maybe the week before. No, it was week before. Week before we did Alexander the Great. And so it had me nerding out on all the hoplites, the soldiers, the militia soldiers and professional soldiers of ancient Greece. Stuff, you know, swords, shields, spears. It's freaking fascinating. You want to nerd out on some Greek history? You know Hillsdale College will do that too for you. Free. More than 40 free online courses. Maybe you're more of an American history geek. You want to learn about the Constitution and why this went in there, why that. Hillsdale has a free course on that too. Maybe you're an economics nerd. That'd probably be Chris. They have capitalism. Whatever you want, more than 40 free online courses at no cost. Hillsdale.edu/Jesse. All right. Let's talk about Jasmine Crockett briefly. Then let's do some emails. Jasmine Crockett, you know, the lovely Texas congresswoman.
You know, thinking that you have your own special little army that's for you. I mean, it is just, it is sick. It is really sick. And anybody that supports it is also sick. And so, you know, we've got a mental health crisis in this country because everyone, no matter how you affiliate yourself, should be against Trump, period. This is not partisan for me.
Yeah. Let's talk about that next.
Get the cure for rhinos. Weekdays with the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on an amazing Thursday. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, you download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. All right. Do some emails. Let's do some Jasmine Crockett first, though. I wish I'd put that differently. Here she was.
You know, thinking that you have your own special little army that's for you. I mean, it is just, it is sick. It is really sick. And anybody that supports it is also sick. And so, you know, we've got a mental health crisis in this country because everyone, no matter how you affiliate yourself, should be against Trump, period. This is not partisan for me.
Barack Obama used to do that all the time. And he really, look, he learned it from his mentors, communists like Frank Marshall Davis and the other people who mentored him. But he really passed that along. And he did it very well. Now Democrats speak like this all the time. And when I say like this, this is what I mean. He'll take the most partisan stance in the world, and then he'll complain about anyone who opposes it as being partisan or being political. Hey, we need to open up the border and let everybody in. This isn't some partisan issue. Don't make it political. Let's just open up the border. Communists do this all the time because there's this mentality. I want you to think about the communist revolution as food dye. Stay with me. Red food dye. All right? You have me? So I want you to picture a piece of cornbread in front of you. Gosh, I love cornbread. That's not important right now. You have a piece of cornbread in front of you. You have a bottle of food dye. What the communist is constantly doing is trying to pour as much food dye onto the cornbread as possible to get it to stain permanently as much of the cornbread red as it possibly can. When it comes to their activism, they try to enshrine it into the law. They try to enshrine it into the bureaucracy. They don't want you to have the ability, even if you hate it, even if you want to vote it out, they don't want you to have the ability to do that. Once the cornbread becomes red, you can't get the red out of the cornbread. The cornbread is red. They operate the exact same way with their laws, with policies. They operate the exact same way with language. They will try to use language and stop all opposition to it. That's why they use tactics like, hey, I think we should just abort every baby. Hey, don't oppose me. Why are you being political? I was talking about babies. Quit being partisan about the whole thing. It's an attempt to silence you. It's a defense mechanism. That's why they do it. Dear Historical Oracle, speaking of kamikaze stuff, have you watched Godzilla Minus One? I promise it's good. It is very good. I didn't watch a ton of movies with my dad when I was a kid, but when we did, it was almost always John Wayne movies. I've seen them all multiple times. And James Bond movies, very kid-friendly. Thanks, Dad. But it was John Wayne and James Bond movies, with the exception of the monster movies, meaning the Godzillas. I'm talking the old cheesy ones where the guy's clearly in, you know, a rubber costume or something. The Godzilla movies, the King Kong movies, I've seen them all. And it's just funny how things get, speaking of things getting just ingrained in you, cemented in you, now I feel obligated to see all of them. Every time there's a Godzilla movie out, I'll go see it in theaters. The good ones, the garbage ones. If there's a King Kong movie out, I'll go see it. What, Chris? Wasn't it in Japanese, Godzilla Minus One? Well, I don't want to talk about that. You see, I am able to watch movies that have subtitles. I don't mind watching movies that have subtitles at all. We watched this movie when we were in Iraq. You only have, this was during, there were CDs back then. You didn't have iPhones where it was in the cloud or anything like that. And there was no internet anyway. So for music, we only had a few CDs. And the same way worked for DVDs. And they were all CDs. I'm explaining this like an old man. I'm explaining it to kids. You know what I'm talking about, those CDs. Well, it's a horrible desert and we don't have facilities. Over time, they were all destroyed, scratched up, destroyed, scratched up, destroyed. So whatever we started out with, we ended up with nothing left. I remember it like it was yesterday. We had a little boom box that played CDs. And we had a few different CDs with us, Pink Floyd and Metallica and some things like that. And we had a Godsmack. It was this band Godsmack. I don't even know if they're still around. But we were invading and we had our boom box. And slowly but surely, you could tell the boom box was straining under all that grit and dirt in it. You know, CD players didn't do well with that. And slowly but surely, the CDs were getting scratched up and mangled. So they were just slowly fading away the whole time, right? Eventually, all we have left is the Godsmack CD, which I didn't mind them. They had a couple good jams, good workout jams, but it wasn't really my favorite thing. But I remember the moment we had the CD, the little boombox, in the track, in our Amtrak, an armored troop carrier. Okay, an armored troop carrier is what you would know it as. We were in this track. And we're in Iraq, and we had this horrible sandstorm, And we weren't allowed to play music during it. There were terrorist attacks. And we had to do other things. But when it was done, we were so covered. Our teeth were covered in dirt. I have pictures from it. Like, you're just caked in dirt. And remember, there are no showers. And so we all kind of cringed looking at our boombox stick, and there's no way it made it through, right? And we turn it on, and it started playing. It was like this miracle. We're like, yes, it started playing. It was this great moment. But then it lasted maybe a minute, and it was all gone. Gone forever. We never got it back again. It was our last boombox. It was our last CD. Chris, why did I go off talking about this whole thing again? Oh, yeah, Godzilla Minus One. Anyway, one of the very few... Thanks, Chris. I got distracted. One of the very few DVDs we had was, forgive me, Lord, a French movie. Now, stay with me, Chris. It's called Brotherhood of the Wolf. If I remember right, I'm trying to think. I don't think it's for the kids. Hey, kids, no. I think there's a couple scenes in that movie that are not kid-friendly. Check with mom, okay? Check with dad. Never mind. Check with mom. Dad's going to tell you it's okay. Brotherhood of the Wolf. It was, they had muskets and things like that, but it was essentially a martial arts movie where they were beating a lot of people up, but it was in French. Yes, I know, Chris, French martial arts. It didn't seem right. Rated R? Yes, I remember. It was definitely rated R. Either way, it had subtitles. And because it was one of the only things we had, whenever we got to a place, a civilized place where there was a TV, it was the only movie we would watch because it was the only one we had. I developed a set of skills. I can read subtitles and watch a movie. Cannot. It's not that she can't. She hates it. She's not a huge reader anyway, although she's picking up on that. She hates it. And when we went to Godzilla Minus One, because everyone had told us how great it was, I did not realize there were subtitles. We sat down and the movie starts, and immediately I hear that thing that every guy has heard before and every woman listening has done this to her man before. I hear... And I know right off the bat, I'm just wincing. It was a rough 2 hours, Chris. It was rough. All right. It was rough. But at least my elbow didn't hurt. I'll tell you that. The relief factor was there for me. Even when Godzilla Minus One did me wrong, relief factor was there for me. And relief factor will be there for you to take away your pain. Not the emotional damage that comes with showing your wife a movie with subtitles. I'm talking about the pain that is physical, it's every day, and it's made your life worse. What don't you do that you used to love because it hurts? Playing golf, going for a hike, maybe even going to work. Maybe it hurts now. Don't mask it, and don't ignore it. Do something to get rid of it completely. That's Relief Factor. It is 100% drug-free. It is a supplement. You take it every day, and it builds up in your body. Eventually, you wake up, and it's just gone. How wonderful does that sound? Pain-free. So just say that, pain-free. 1-800-4-RELIEF, or go to relieffactor.com. We'll be back.
Feeling a little stalky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Thursday, reminding you to email your Ask Dr. Jesse questions in for tomorrow. Email those to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Let's do a bunch of stuff, shall we? Jesse, question: how are the guest hosts selected? Do you have any say in it? No. Well, yes and no, I guess I should say. I have the ultimate say in it if I wanted to. was that accurate, Chris? Did I answer that? Yep, Chris is laughing because I answered it very accurately. They always ask. I've been blown away since I took this gig. at how wonderful Premier has treated me. And I really mean that. I'm not just sucking up to my employer. They just have been wonderful. They let me say whatever I want. I mean, you hear the crap we get away with on this show. We get to do whatever we want. There's never any correction. Don't say this. You're not allowed to talk about that. They've never tried to force me to take an advertiser. When I say no, they don't complain. And so they're very respectful when it comes to fill-in hosts. Hey, is Jesse okay with this person? Is Jesse okay with that person? They're always asking Chris this stuff, right? Chris, is Jesse okay? And Chris always gives them the same answer because Chris knows. Jesse doesn't care. And it's not that I don't, it's not that I don't care about you and your drive home or your workout or at work or however you listen to the show. It's not that I don't care about that. I understand that when I'm gone, for whatever it is an opportunity for somebody who wants this gig. You know, like I said, everyone who does this wants this. It's an opportunity for them to shine. And so I don't want to try to control the process. I want somebody, get someone new every night. I don't care. Get somebody in there and see if somebody else can make your day great. See, I like, you know what blesses me? I don't know why. Maybe it's just because I'm an old man. It's baseball season, right? And you know, professional baseball, the major leagues, you know that they have minor leagues, AAA and AA and single A and all that stuff. You know what I've always loved? When somebody gets a call up to the majors, when he's playing AAA or something like that, and he gets a call up and, hey, guess what? So-and-so got hurt for the Atlanta Braves. We need you to show up and play right field for the next two games. And he shows up and performs. He shows up, has the opportunity of a lifetime underneath the bright lights, and hits a bomb. If he's a pitcher, goes out there and throws 12 Ks and wins a game. Just boom, gets an opportunity and does it. I love that stuff. I nerd out on that stuff. So whenever there's a fill-in host, I don't care who it is, go get them. Go shine. You know, James T. Harris does a lot of the fill-ins. James T. Harris, he's out of Phoenix, right, Chris? Phoenix. Did you know that I know James T. from back in the day? I got to know him personally when I was running for Congress before I was even in this business. And I think James T. does a dynamite job whenever he fills in. But that's a guy who saw an opportunity. Hey, get to fill in, swing for the fences. He does. You enjoy him. You email. It makes me proud. I like that. I like people taking a big chance, betting on themselves, getting a big opportunity, and killing it. I just have always, I don't know what that is. If that's an old man thing, or just, I don't know what that is, but I like it. It does my heart well. Dear Princess Hands, you know, that's not very nice. I heard you talking a couple weeks back about the pain it would feel to be shot in the hand and that movies don't do it justice. My question to you is, do you live in peace knowing your tiny baby hands are immune? You know what? Never mind. I'm sorry I read that. Chris, can we screen these emails from now on, Chris? Dear gigantic hands, Jesse. See, I like this guy. Let me say I want to commend you for completing that fast last week. It was very inspirational for those who weren't paying attention. I fasted all morning one day, and past noon, I existed on only a protein shake and several cups of coffee. Jewish producer Chris put me down at every turn, tried to tell me it wasn't a real fast or something like that. Anyway, sorry, Chris, I inspired this guy. He goes on to say, I know it wasn't easy. You had to have been famished, but you pulled it off. Thank you. I wanted to ask, has anyone ever told you you sometimes sound like Shaggy from Scooby-Doo? Usually happens when you're reading or saying something you find very funny. Chris, what's Shaggy sound like? I don't remember Shaggy. Do I sound like Shaggy? I'm more high-pitched? I was going to say, how am I more high-pitched than anybody? Okay, yeah, I don't understand that. Master of Reality. What was the weirdest animal? What is with Ask Dr. Jesse? Is it started early? What's the weirdest animal encounter you had with your dad in Montana? Weirdest animal encounter. I'll tell you this one. This actually wasn't Montana, but this is probably probably the most nerve-wracking animal encounter. In fact, I'll give you two of them. One isn't even mine. It's my dad's. Dad goes out. My dad was a big outdoorsman, much more than me, all about hunting and fishing. That he was that guy, right? He was always out there hunting and fishing. He went up deer hunting one time. It was snowy. It was Montana. He was deer hunting. And he's tracking these deer through the mountains. Doesn't end up getting anything. Starts making his way back towards the end of the day. He notices mountain lion tracks essentially covering his tracks. Unbeknownst to him, he was being stalked by a mountain lion for a long period of time in the mountains of Montana, and he was up there by himself. Now, granted, he had a high-powered rifle. My dad's was a very large man anyway. He was 6'4", 250, and he would have had a sidearm and a knife. It would have been one of the tougher meals that mountain lion ever tried to take down. But, yeah, mountain lion. What, Chris? Well, that's true. It is a mountain lion, and they are expert. Look, they kill elk because they're big cats. They know how to get a hold of your throat, and once they get your throat, you're basically done. But can they get your throat? I don't know. And I hadn't even grown yet to the point where I could tell my dad my cheetah hunting techniques and my plans that I intended to use if I ever get in a fight with a cheetah. I will give you a different animal encounter, though, and then we are going to discuss the flagpole at the White House. It's an interesting thing for the left to get mad about. Next.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.